You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined by Spike Friedman. And so here's the thing with the Seahawks, and I know we're starting right away.
Is this a Seahawks podcast? Is that what this is?
We're here to talk about the Seahawks, and usually we talk more about the on-field stuff, but now that the season's ended, the staff and the roster are coming into the spotlight for this podcast, so it's going to be more about, you know, what changes need to be made, what changes we think are going to be made, and stuff along those lines.
And I think we're also going to talk NFL a little more broadly. We're going to talk sports a little more broadly. We're going to have on some guests. It's going to get weird. I think we're going to keep up at about three a week, at least through the Super Bowl. And then, you know, so you'll be able to get the hottest of hot takes. And this is basically going to become First Take.
Right. And we talked about that a week ago, I think. So I was actually using that as a sort of film room. I was studying. I was doing my homework on it.
Yeah.
And we're gonna be coming with the heat. I think that you should be prepared. We're not gonna be your 4 days a week Seahawks podcast, but we're gonna be coming three times, and maybe, you know, we'll see after the Super Bowl and heading into free agency, we should get into a little more of a consistent schedule with that too. So here's the thing with the Seahawks, as I was saying. You know, we talk about it all day on Twitter, almost, at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Freeman, and even at Lock Seahawks. And so a thing that was said yesterday, and I'm forgetting the source, but it was under speculation that a lot of the Seahawks assistant coaches and coordinators, their jobs were going to be, you know, looked at and see, you know, who's staying, who's going. But this morning, it was said that a couple coaches their jobs might not be in jeopardy. Spike, do you have any clarity on that?
Yeah, apparently Brock Heward, who is obviously an ESPN voice, he's a voice on local talk radio in Seattle. He's a former Husky and Seahawk great quarterback. He was a Husky great quarterback. He was a Seahawk not so great quarterback. That's fine. But he is deeply connected within the organization. He's the sort of guy who, like Jay Glazer when he talks Seahawks, like Jason LaConifora, like he's one of those guys you have to listen to. And he was saying today that Tom Cable and Daryl Bevel's jobs are relatively safe, it looks like. There's been no news that they're moving on, no rumors of the Seahawks looking at potential future offensive coordinators. And I would say my initial reaction to that is actually interesting. I think it's all bad, but I think it's half atrocious and half bad.
It's varying degrees of bad.
Yeah, because I think that there are two different things going on there. And should we start with the easier of the two, which is Daryl Bevel?
Yeah.
Like, well, this is actually the harder of the two, because Daryl Bevel does not need to be fired. Daryl Bevel had a down year. The Seahawks offensive DVOA was middle of the pack. The running game was dreadful. The passing game seemed to rely on Russell Wilson's genius rather than scheming or coaching. It seemed like there was meat left on the bone when it came to scheming and play calling. That really was visible in the games against the Rams in Arizona. Teams that see us a lot know what we're doing, and they're able to account for it. We were frequently throwing into defensive backfields with seven players dropping, and we're frequently running into boxes with seven players in the box. That's not great. That's not what you want from your play caller. At the same time, you know, he's been above average at every point in his career. He obviously has rapport with Russell Wilson. He is not, he is not responsible for the running game specifically, and the passing game this year, though intermittent and frustrating, inconsistent, was good. I mean, the passing game was good this year,
especially given the high point of the offense.
Yeah, especially given the caliber of skill position players around Wilson, where he has one really solid red zone target, one really good slot receiver, and a couple other decent guys. That isn't the sort of world-beating cast of characters that should turn into, you know, I mean, Russell Wilson, end of the year, leading the league in touchdown passes. So given that that is Daryl Bevel's province, it's like not, crazy to bring him back. I wouldn't bring him back because I was incredibly frustrated with the inconsistency of the Seahawks offense. That said, inconsistency, the best quarterbacks are inconsistent. Ben Roethlisberger was dreadful against Jacksonville. Tom Brady, down the stretch of the season, I believe his last four games, he ended with 8 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. That's dreadfully inconsistent. So, you know, even the best quarterbacks are more inconsistent than we give them credit for. And Russell Wilson was actually game-to-game fairly consistent. It was within games where he was, you know, very frustrating, especially in first quarters. It was, ugh. But that's all to say, I think Bevel should go, but Bevel staying is not cause to riot. Tom Cable.
Yeah.
Great. Mm. Okay. So, where do you start? You start by saying he should not be on, he should not be employed by an NFL team at this point. He shouldn't.
Correct.
It is a disgrace that the Seahawks did not fire him before this year, but given everything that's happening in the world right now, when we talk about abuse, when we talk about harassment, when we talk about those issues, Tom Cable has a well-documented history of abusing subordinates in the workplace and abusing his partners and, I believe, one of his children physically. That can't stand, and it is a long-standing pattern. He punched one of his assistant coaches in Oakland, and we think of that as like almost like a funny side note compared to what he did within his own family. But man, when you talk about the harassment issues like racking industries right now, that is the most masculine version of the issues that every industry is doing. I mean, the fact that Tom Cable is in a position of power on the Seahawks is a disaster from a moral perspective. And if this year hasn't made that super clear to everybody, then it's crazy. It is just beyond crazy. So, like, in and of itself, that should be enough. Even if the Seahawks were number one in rushing DVOA this year, Tom Cable should be off of this team. The Seahawks were not number one in rushing DVOA this year. They were dreadful. He is responsible for the offensive line and running game. The offensive line was 30th in the league in terms of rush yards, in terms of the yards that running backs got before first contact. They were 30th in the league, which is dreadful. I mean, it's beyond dreadful. And it isn't like he hasn't had resources. Jermaine Effetti, first-round pick. Ethan Posick, high pick. You know, Mark Lewinsky is gone. He was a reasonably high pick. You know, they threw a second-rounder for Dwayne Brown. Luke Jokel got a real $8 million contract. They gave Justin Britt that second contract. You know, like, he's got guys, and he's not doing his job well.
There hasn't been a lack of effort in putting guys in front of him by the front office.
Yeah, so that's to say he's a moral catastrophe. He's a professional catastrophe. People are talking about like, oh man, can Russell Wilson run Pete Carroll football? Pete Carroll football involves the capacity to run the ball. Whether or not a quarterback is an improviser, a scrambler, does the read option, does RPOs, you know, whatever it is, fundamental to Pete Carroll football is being able to run the ball. When you look back at those USC teams, it was Reggie Bush, it was Lendale White. When you look at Marshawn Lynch, you know, you look at the Seahawks needing to be able to move the ball with multiple guys. And like, you know, the fact that only Chris Carson was able to get traction in this offense this year, that doesn't bode well. And yes, there was not real running back talent. But just, you know, going into next year's draft, knowing we got to take a running back in the second round or whatever.
Especially when you need so much depth everywhere else, seeing all the injuries, it sucks. And, you know, even Chris Carson's case, he looked legit. He played well. But, you know, behind that offensive line, who knows how he could have sustained that.
Yeah. And it feels like there's constant misreads. There's constant failures of execution. And at a certain point, that comes down to the person coaching it up.
Right.
You know, you look at what's happening in Los Angeles. You look at Jared Goff, and you look at how much better his reads are this year. And that is part of coaching, is giving a system to your players that they can implement with the coaching time given to them. You know, like, that's part of the deal. And, like, if you're just like, well, this scheme would work if they – you know, we're able to master it, but we don't have the time, so I'm not going to change how I teach. That's dreadful. That's bad. Tom Cable is bad in every God, it's unbelievable. If he comes back next year, it's a real disaster for this team in every way, top to bottom.
We talked about how the league has passed him up in on-field product and even in like moral, in like in the morality of, you know, being in the league. Like, there shouldn't be any room for that sort of stuff in the NFL in the first place, in any place in the first place. And the fact that he still has a job with his history of abuse, and now that his, you know, his on-field product has gotten to be the detriment that it is, it's inexcusable. And yeah. I think that, you know, we could talk, I mean, at length about this even more, but we'll take a break right now and we'll get back to you with the rest of the show. All right, we are back with the Locked On Seahawks podcast. We've kind of collected ourselves from the Tom Cable stuff, and I mean, we're perpetually mad about that, but we've composed ourselves, and we're gonna dive into the free agency. We're gonna look over, you know, who's unrestricted, who's restricted, who should be brought back, who shouldn't be brought back, and we each have a couple guys. We're gonna run through this list, and I'm gonna start us off with a kind of easy one. I know he wasn't really great for the Seahawks all year, and we were questioning why he was on the team in the first place, but Eddie Lacy, I think that he really shouldn't be back in the Seahawks uniform in 2017. And
Grant taking the safest guy to not bring back in this little bring back don't bring back feature that
exactly.
We're running.
I'm easing the listener into this. I know that we're gonna get a little weird with Spike. There's always that constant threat of weirdness ensuing, but Eddie Lacy. For a couple reasons, I mean, he was absolutely dreadful, and a product of that is, you know, how he meshed with the offensive line and just the complete lack of running game in the Seahawks offense in the first place. Another reason is that I don't want those China food tweets haunting me again. I know that ESPN article about him having people in his mentions about that almost daily. It's a cloud that's hung over my head the whole season, and so just to have that out of my life, It'd make it a lot better. He was inactive for a good portion of games, though, and he didn't have really a positive impact at any point in the season. I think the biggest play he wasn't even involved in, it was a J.D. McKissic touchdown against the Colts that Al Michaels said it was Eddie Lacy. I think that's the point of excitement. I think that was the peak of his Seattle career, and he wasn't even involved in the play.
That was the only running back touchdown on the ground this year, which is staggering. Staggering.
And we'll get into that player a little later, actually, after we run through this list.
Eddie Lacy's dreadful. I mean, he ran for 179 yards on 62 carries this year, despite getting paid like a reasonable amount of money. Get rid of him. My who to get rid of before we go into who to keep is maybe a little controversial. I don't know. But we have two free agent tight ends in Jimmy Graham and Luke Wilson, and I don't think the team should necessarily bring back either of them. Jimmy Graham is maybe the more obvious one to not bring back because he is more valuable to someone else. He's potentially more valuable to the Saints themselves, or, you know, maybe like Green Bay, San Francisco is one where I don't know what they think of George Kittle at this point, but they've got so much cap space they could throw $8-9 million at Jimmy Graham if, say, they miss on Le'Veon Bell, or, you know, if they want that extra marquee weapon.
They could have that Jimmy G squared connection.
Exactly. And I just don't think Graham is worth that to this offense. Even though he was a viable red zone threat, we saw Nick Van Eck was able to get open in the Reds, you know, like they're the ability to do what he does. Like, also, you have to be able to do that in the running game. John Clayton is now reporting as of a minute ago that Tom Cable is unlikely to be fired. I'm just so mad about that.
Oh my.
But yes, you should be able to get in from the 2 yard line without relying on one tight end. So Jimmy Graham is not necessarily essential to this team. With Luke Wilson, it's just that he brings replacement level skill, and at a certain point he is enough of a veteran, you're paying him enough money, that it's a problem. And you see his drops, he actually was better this year until the end of the season when he had one of the most brutal drops I've ever seen. Hence the nickname I gave him over at The Stranger, where I write Seahawks recaps, which is dubstep because you're always waiting for the drop with Luke Wilson. That was before I knew he was a big techno fan. I'm done with dubstep, man. I'm done with him.
Yeah, I think we passed up dubstep as like a nation like a couple years ago, but I don't want to keep that trend going in Seattle.
Exactly. And I'm just like, let's find someone else. Let's find him in the draft. If he is available for a veteran minimum contract, like a month into free agency, fine. But like, I don't want them to give him $1 more than that because it's going to be tight.
And that's the reason almost why you can't bring back Jimmy Graham for the kind of production that he's bringing to Seattle. I think maybe the conversation is warranted of bringing him back if there's a coordinator change, but I really don't think that there's going to be one. And so it just the price point, it isn't worth it for the kind of production you're getting from Jimmy Graham, even with the touchdowns, because, you know, yeah, when you get to the red zone, that's great, but the Seahawks had a dreadful touchdown percentage in the red zone this year. And yeah. I think that, you know, if you're not using him really in the offense, you know, anywhere else on the field, then it doesn't justify having him on the roster for as much as he costs. I mean, we saw like one of the biggest plays of the year just this Sunday on that fourth down. And I think it was like a 25-yard pass or something like that. And like that was a Jimmy Graham play that, you know, we'd think would happen all the time when we made that deal for him, and you know it hasn't happened as much this year at all. So yeah, I'm with you, and I think that, you know, it's not worth the production, and it's not worth the drops with Luke Wilson. I think that, you know, like you said, if he's not expensive and you're not overpaying for him, sure bring him back. But you know, if he's gonna be asking for a lot of money, this team can't afford to be spending money where they. Extra money where they can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And I think we each have a guy that we'd like to bring back. And I'm gonna choose maybe someone that everybody's not thinking about. I think that it showed we need depth this year. The Seahawks team needs depth. And a guy that didn't play terrible when he came back was Byron Maxwell. I think that you know he played like he deserves another contract with the Seahawks. He was comfortable in the system and he, you know, played like Byron Maxwell. And, you know, obviously he's not the Byron Maxwell of a few years ago, but, you know, he still has that punch out ability and he still makes plays in coverage. I think that he's not going to be a super expensive option. And so if Richard Sherman comes back with the team, then you have a pretty good lineup. And I think that we'll talk about Justin Coleman later, but if he's back with the team, you have Sherman, Shaq, Maxwell, Coleman, and you got a pretty good group right there. Deshaun Shedd as well. So yep. I think that it'd be an inexpensive, good option in bringing Maxwell back.
Yeah, I strongly agree on Maxwell. Also, another factor is as good as this year's cornerback draft was, next year's cornerback draft is that bad. There's not a lot of sleepers out there to be grabbed, as I understand it, in terms of cornerbacks next year. So it's not going to be a cheap position to replace. Team obviously wants to move on from Jeremy Lane. When you say if we do, even if we don't bring back Sherman, if we're running out Shaq, Coleman, Lane, Shedd, and a cheap free agent, you know, that you can work with that. Obviously, you add Richard Sherman to that mix, and you've got an elite cornerback unit. So, you know, that's sort of...
It'd be nice to have that kind of reputation again. Because that's obviously taken a hit in the last couple of years with all the injuries we've had with Earl Thomas going down a couple of years ago, and then Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman going down with their injuries. It'd be nice to kind of, you know, run with the top dogs again in that elite cornerback groups.
Yeah, and sort of in that mode, a guy who I'd like to bring back, but I actually don't know if the price tag is going to be right, is Bradley McDougald. So I'm going to say the guy we should bring back is Sheldon Richardson. And Richardson had a pretty bad week 17, but other than that, there weren't the sort of motivational issues we worried about with him coming in. He was really solid throughout the year. He's sort of that Michael Bennett does it all, doesn't flash a ton, but it's constantly disrupting the run game. It's constantly drawing double teams, getting pushing on the inside. He's just a valuable every down defensive lineman. He's just really freaking good at three technique. Those guys are tough to get.
Exactly.
We're short on draft picks. That's the sort of guy to get. You got to be up high in the draft. We're going to have to trade back most likely in order to fill out our roster. So keeping Sheldon Richardson allows the team to trade back a little more comfortably. Now, he's going to command a decent price tag. I don't think he's going to command quite what he looked like he would when we brought him in. I don't know if that's $12 million, $14 million, $18 million. I don't know. And there probably is a number where it's too high given the constraints the Seahawks are working with. But given where some of those contracts coming off the books in 2 years are, you can backload his deal a little bit.
Right.
Without mortgaging the future, I think Sheldon Richardson is the sort of guy you got to bring back. Especially, and he also said he wanted to come back.
Yeah, exactly. He says he wants to come back. And especially with the uncertainty with Malik McDowell and his future with the team. And also, you know, I don't know if this Nas Jones injury is going to be sort of a lagging thing, but it's nice to have that depth, especially if guys are dealing with things and you don't know if it's going to be a long-term issue. Nas Jones would have the... had to go on IR. Granted, it was with a couple weeks left in the season, but still, you know, you gotta be aware of those things. And I think, those guys provide something in that you don't have to invest a whole bunch of resources in the draft in if you bring those guys back in Maxwell and Richardson in a draft where they're gonna need to kind of do work to amass some of the picks to fill out the roster, like you were saying, Spike. And really fast before we take a break. We'll go over some restricted free agents.
No, let's take a break first. Okay. We're going to close out with the restricted free
agents. You know what? Yeah, we'll give them
this
the time they deserve.
This is a tease.
Yes.
Locked on Seahawks, you're listening to it. We'll be back right after this with restricted free agent talk. All right, we are back. Spike Friedman, at Spike Friedman on Twitter, alongside Grant Goldberg, at Grant Goldberg on Twitter. You're listening to Locked On Seahawks, at Locked Seahawks on Twitter. We are talking free agents. We are now going to talk restricted free agents. Grant and I each got a guy we want to bring back on our list of restricted free agents. Now, I think a bunch of these guys are going to be back. I think Mike Davis will be back. I don't know about Thomas Rawls. I assume Deion Jordan's going to be back. That's going to be great. Dewey McDonald, who knows? But we've each got another guy that we like. Grant, who is your guy you like?
Well, yeah, I'll talk about the running back group really quick. I think, well, obviously, we both agree that Mike Davis should be back. And we have an exclusive rights free agent in J.D. McKissic. And so when you have an exclusive rights free agent, all you need to do is extend a qualifying offer, and they're with the team. And J.D. McKissic is an exclusive rights free agent. And the Seahawks would be downright silly not to extend that qualifying offer. He offered arguably the most versatility out of the backfield for the Seahawks in the passing game. And he has that element where, you know, he's faster than most of the guys on the field. So you give him the ball and you give him space and, you know, let him go to work. I know that there wasn't a ton of space for him to operate with in Seattle in 2017. But... you know, he made plays in a running back room where those were scarce. And I think that, you know, he won't be running back number one or even number two, honestly. But, you know, he's a guy worth bringing back just to have on the roster for that added threat out of the backfield.
Yep. Friend of the podcast, Ben Baldwin, just tweeted out a graph. The Seahawks, in terms of rushes inside the 10-yard line this year, 20 rushes, negative 3 yards, zero touchdowns, zero first downs from the running backs.
I wonder what the yards per carry is or for that.
That is negative 0.04 or 0.4-ish? No, negative 0.3-ish. Anyway,
that is dreadful. Toxically bad.
It is really bad. I'm sorry, it's negative 0.6. That's my bad. Negative 0.6 yards per carry inside the 10-yard line from Seahawks running back. So, yeah, we can bring back Mike Davis or no. I think we should. He's cheap and he's good. We should maybe not bring back Thomas Rawls. But, you know, we should definitely bring back is Justin Coleman. Hey, love to steal a guy from the Patriots and turn him into a valuable player. San Francisco did that with Jimmy Garoppolo. We did it with Justin Coleman, who will be picking off Jimmy Garoppolo for the foreseeable future. I really like Coleman. He is a bend-but-don't-break quarterback. He had a couple big turnovers. He's a valuable blitzer. You saw him, like, he would get beat in trail coverage every now and then, but he would maintain contact with the receiver, was able to lay hits on guys, pop some balls out, and also make tackles. There were a few too many times when he gives up that first down on third and medium, but that's just the life of a slot receiver in a league with an increasing number of really good slot slot corner versus slot wide receivers. So, you know, that's life, man. That's life.
You kind of just roll with the punches in that sense. But, I think it'd be you know, a slam dunk move for the Seahawks to bring back Coleman. He was, you know, arguably, you know, one of the best corners on the team, obviously. Like we said, he makes plays, he gets takeaways, and that's something that the Seahawks rely on heavily. And, you know, he's been great this year. Deion Jordan is a guy that, you know, made an impact when he was healthy. And, right, you just take a flyer on him and give him another kind of prove-it deal.
Yeah.
And I think that really kind of does it for the free agents. I know we have another exclusive rights free agent in Tyron Swoops, who could be, you know, big for the team in 2018 if they don't bring back Jimmy Graham and Luke Wilson. He can see a much expanded role. And
I think they'll keep PJ Dawson and Josh Forrest around at the linebacker position. They both flashed a few times on special teams, and our depth at linebacker isn't what we want it to be, as we saw when KJ and Bobby were out. So keeping those guys in the system, making sure they can be at least competent in case of injury. Also, Brandon Jackson was actually pretty good this year, and he's an exclusive rights free agent, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him back.
Exactly.
All right, well, that's great. So for those of you who listened to the end yesterday, thank you. You guys are heroes. And we have a little treat for those of you who tweeted the special code word to us. We just got one in while we were recording the episode from Cobert Pack, Mr. Cobby Cobb, more like Mr. Randall Cobb, because he came in late and he didn't do much for my fantasy team. I picked Randall Cobb off waivers this year in my fantasy league as everyone got really frustrated with the Packers. Thank you, Mr. Cobert Pack, for listening all the way through yesterday's depressing as heck episode of the Locked On Seahawks. Who else we got, Grant? I feel like there are three other people.
Yeah, we got Manny Misker. I think... All right, we're gonna work on our pun game right now. And more like Mr. Manny Whisker, because he whisked his way through the episode all the way through and knew to say banana bread. And so
I like Manny Whisker because he's also got those cat-like reflexes at tweeting.
Right, yeah, you got the thumb speed that it takes to make it as a big-time tweeter.
Yeah. Right,
who else we got?
We've got Thad Wenatchee, which I believe is probably a... already a pseudonym of some sort. Oh man, how do you do a pun on Wenatchee? More like bad Wenatchee.
More like not bad Wenatchee.
Oh, that's good, because Wenatchee's nice. Have you ever been to Wenatchee, Grant?
I have not. That's the first time I've heard of it all.
Central Washington's metropolis.
Ooh.
The biggest city between Bellevue or Issaquah and Spokane, I think. Wenatchee. Love Central Washington. It's a beautiful country there. Fire prone now because of global warming, which is bad. So bad Wenatchee because of global warming, not bad Wenatchee because of listening to the podcast. We got one more. Nicholas Minot, friend of the pod, I guess. Friend of the pod, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, he tweeted at us. I don't know why I said I guess. He let us know that his aunt was in the film The Room, which is not a good movie, not the movie Room, but I just saw Disaster Artist, and that was a fun time. The Room itself is hilariously bad, and it's so weird when like real people were involved in it. So I love that. Nicholas Minot, more like Nicholas Minyes. I don't know, Grant. This isn't going as well as I thought.
Yeah, no. I mean, we could go with the Nicholas Minot bad thing, but yeah, it's kind of played out. I guess
it's not bad. Sure. But thank you to Nicholas for listening all the way to the end of yesterday's depressing episode. You guys are all heroes. We didn't check iTunes. So you want to do the sign-off while I check iTunes?
Yeah, I checked iTunes before the show, but you know, who knows during the...
Well, we got one during it, man. So,
All right, nope, so this is why it's a Locked On Seahawks podcast, not a puncast, because obviously we are terrible at that. We'd like to think that we're better at talking about Seahawks and talking about, you know, everything that has to do with the team. So if you think that we're good at it or even not bad at it, You can go on iTunes and leave a 5-star review and enter your Twitter handle to enter yourself to win a Pro Football Focus Edge membership. You can get a whole bunch of numbers and you can compare them to other stats on other sites and see what you like best. You can play a draft on draft.com, which we'll talk about tomorrow. And it's an inexpensive daily fantasy sport option. And it doesn't take a whole bunch of time. So use the promo code LONFL and you can get a free draft on your first visit. So you got to take advantage of that. Spike, yeah. So we didn't get any reviews, right?
No.
All right. So I knew. I did my homework. And obviously we knew coming in we had no new reviews. But Spike, the eternal optimist, he just wanted to check to make sure. So tomorrow, I think that we'll talk a little bit about Chris Richard and the Indianapolis Colts. I think we should get a little more clarity on that today, so we'll be better prepared to talk about it tomorrow. And so I think that does it, Spike, right?
Yeah, all right. Sure does.
All right, for Locked On Seahawks, I am Grant Goldberg, at Grant Goldberg, signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, at Spike Friedman, also signing off.